That, if you know me, we're going to look at more scriptures than that. I believe I have a message for all of us today. We're in harvest time, in the middle of harvest time. We do this every year at our church for the month of October. And so, I appreciate Mark Ward brought a great message to kick us off. Give Mark a big hand clap. I don't know where he went. I think he had to go use the restroom. And then Dusty Welty brought a great message last Sunday. Give him a hand clap. And hopefully I'm going to bring one as well today. And then next week we got Mark Shell will be here. And I know most of you know Mark Shell if you've been around Harvest Fellowship Church any length of time. But then the last Sunday we're going to have Cammie Cantu is going to be here. And she's been here before and she'll be really good as well. So I'm looking forward to them. We just got back from men's retreat. Myself, Gary Gourlay is here this morning. He's got his shirt on from men's retreat. I like that warrior shirt. And then who else? Luke and Bryce went with us as well. And Cameron. Cameron's here. I think he's back in the back with Jarek. We had a great time. And it was at Falls Creek this year. We baptized 9 guys up there. Yeah, there was close to 300 men that were there. It was powerful. Had some great ministers spoke the word of God over us and had great and powerful worship. And they're going to share their testimonies. We were going to do it today, but Luke and Bryce had to be gone on a business trip and a business conference that they're at. And so we're probably going to wait until after harvest time is over that first Sunday in November so we can all be together and do it then. So that's kind of the plan. But during this, this message kind of came out of our time, my time, what God was speaking to me when I was at men's retreat, okay? And by the way, you know, Jade and I got away the first Sunday and went on a birthday trip up to Hanobi, Oklahoma. And I tried to find Bigfoot. I didn't find him yet, but I'm still looking. But anyway, we like doing stuff like that. But here, I want to tell you something. There's times and it's not just for pastors, okay, but in life, you need to have times where you get away. Amen? And you're going to have to plan it. You're going to have to, and then you're going to have to do it. Because there's going to always be stuff get in the way. And I had a pastor tell me this, and I'm trying to live by it now, that as I've gotten older, I've started to realize what wisdom it was. He said, you can't work all the time. You got to have some play time. You can't be engaged all the time. You got to have some play time. And the analogy he used, he said, you know what? We're really good as human beings at scheduling our calendar. Like for the week, you know, the Sundays I'll look at what all I got to get done this week and who I need to see and blah, 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 who I need to call and all that. But he said, but we're not very good at managing our energy. And we got to get good at managing our energy as well. So I appreciate y'all letting us to get away. And I feel fired up this morning. I feel like I got both barrels loaded and ready to go. All right. And we had a good time. I was glad to be back at church this morning. This question I have for us, and this is a question that one of the pastors said and it just one thing he said during the our men's retreat, and it just went off in me. And he said he was talking about flamingos, and I just felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me and said, Mark, are you more spiritual than a flamingo? And I'm gonna explain this. All right, this is gonna go somewhere this morning. And this came from a National Geographic study. This came back in 2004. There was a tsunami that slammed the coastlines of India, and animals knew what was about to happen, and they fled to safety. Elephants, they talked about in this article that elephants screamed and ran for higher ground. Domestic dogs and cats refused to go outdoors. Zoo animals rushed into their shelters and could not be enticed to come back out. And then the last thing that it said, and it really stuck with me, flamingos abandoned their low-lying breeding areas and went to higher ground. Now, are we more, and here's the deal, guys, we are living, I believe, in the last days. We're living in the end times, and we have got to be plugged into God. And we've got to know, we got to have a spiritual sense about us, knowing what we need to do for our families and knowing what we need to do for the church. And just, we need to be in the know. Amen? There's a lot of people that are looking at us. Are they in the know? Do they know what's going on? And I believe in these last days, there's going to be more and more people walk through those doors back there wanting to know what we know. And we know the answer. The answer is Jesus. But we need to have a prophetic sense about us that we know what's going on in the world and around us, because that's these are the times that we're living in. Just the other day, we were at our house, and I love hummingbirds, and we have a hummingbird feeder out on our back patio. The hummingbirds have been coming in. All of a sudden, they've stopped, and I told Jada they've migrated. They have a sense about them. They know what to do. They know that there's a season coming that they better get out of here or they're going to freeze to death, right? And I'm just thinking about, you know, in the animal kingdom, that they have that sixth sense, so to speak, of what they're supposed to do in danger and in times that are, you know, what they need to do to keep their species going or whatever. And guys, if we go back before the fall in the book of Genesis, we were created above the animals. We need to have a sense about us that we know what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. I'll never forget. I heard a story about up here at Hammond that there was a flood that was about to happen there on the Ouachita River. Actually, it's the Ouachita River. And I found out that means good hunting in Cheyenne Arapaho language, Ouachita, and that's how you pronounce it, it's Ouachita. Instead of, we go, Ouachita. That's what we say, you know. And but there was an old Indian that lived there. Can I say Indian, by the way? Okay, Native American, you know, I don't know what tribe, I'm sure it's Cheyenne Arapaho. But it was an old man that lived there in Hammond, and he started telling people, go, flood coming, you know. Flood coming, and he's like, how does he know a flood's coming? He goes, I've been watching wildlife. They coming up out of the river bottom. He said they've been doing it for months, and sure enough, they had been, and sure enough, and just within a few weeks after he was saying that, they had a flood, and I believe that God is coming in like a flood into our nation, and guys, we have got to have a prophetic sense about flowing with God. I'm not just talking about danger and knowing, I don't care what the enemy's doing. I know that we need to be in the know, you know, what are the adversaries doing, but we need to know what God's up to and what God wants us to do and how God wants us to move and attack. And I'm tired of being on the defense. I'm ready to be on the offense. Amen? Amen. So that's what we need to be doing. All right, and this goes in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a scripture. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, it says, from Issachar, he's talking about the men, the tribe of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. How did they know? They trained their spiritual senses, and they had a prophetic sense and understood the times and the seasons and knew what to do. And my question to all of us is today is, do you? And here's the deal, guys. That was Old Testament. We're living under a better covenant with better promises. We have the Holy Spirit in us that wants to lead and guide and direct us in all truth. All right? They didn't have that back then. But they knew what they needed to do because they were pressed in and praying to God and wanting to know what they needed to do. And God showed them what to do. And then in Hebrews 5, this is the passage of Scripture out of the New Testament that I want to read today over us. It says, we have much to say about this. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy, and theologians don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I personally think it might have been Paul, but that's, you know, we're not going to split hairs over that. But he said, the writer of Hebrews says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. And what, if you'll read on in the Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews was teaching the Hebrew people about that Melchizedek in the Old Testament was a type of Christ, in the New Testament, and they weren't getting it, they weren't understanding it, and he was getting frustrated, and he said, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Well, you need to try to understand Scripture, all right, and press in and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to bring that understanding. In verse 12, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, everybody say constant use, have trained themselves, everybody say trained themselves, to distinguish good from evil. And a lot of you in here are saying, well, I know good from evil, and I know right from wrong. But do you really? I'm telling you, the enemy can dress up stuff to make it look good. All right, and you need to know, you need to be walking with God, having a spiritual, prophetic sense about you that you know what you need to be doing in certain situations. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom, revelation, and supernatural abilities to effectively use the tools of the Spirit that are available to us. Your word says we can train our senses through the constant use of what you reveal, coming to a place of maturity. We all need to grow up, amen? Everybody ready to get off the bottle and start eating solid food? I am too. My little granddaughter back there in the back, she's coming off the bottle, coming off mama, coming off bottle, and she's starting to eat solid food, and this girl loves to eat. She may not look like me, but she took after me in that area, I promise you. She's got red hair and blue eyes. We don't know where that came from, somewhere on Cameron's family. That gene is strong on the page side. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8 says this, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself," everybody say, train yourself, "to be godly. For physical training," I love this scripture, I'm standing on this scripture, "for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Basically saying, yeah, you need to exercise physically, but you need to learn how to exercise spiritually as well. Exercise your spiritual senses. And the only way you're going to do that, guys, is get into a relationship with the Lord and into a relationship with His Word. And everybody said, amen. May we embrace the advice Paul gave his spiritual son, Timothy, in avoiding distractions and learning to train ourselves. Help us to be intentional about training our senses so we learn to pick up the sword in alignment with the movement of the Lord in the midst of any battle. Amen. Okay. God wants us to be prophetic people. Amos 3, verses 7 through 8. This is Old Testament. It says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants and the prophets." His servants, the prophets. "The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but not prophesy?" And I'm going to tell you something. You might be saying, "Well, Pastor Mark, I'm not a prophet." Yes, you are. Yes, you are. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have all those giftings of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not be in the office of a prophet, but you have that sense, that gift is there, and He wants you to exercise it and use it. And everybody said, amen. You have the Holy Spirit. You have something more powerful than Amos ever had or the sons of Issachar ever had. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. In 1 Chronicles 12, verse 8, it says, "Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the wilderness." And I love this about the Gadite tribe. It says, "They were brave warriors, ready for battle, and able to handle the shield and the spear. And their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains." Whew. Amen. I love that scripture. I want to read that again. "Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the wilderness. They were brave warriors, ready for battle, and able to handle the shield and the spear. Their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains." These dudes knew how to fight. And they joined forces with David because they knew David was the next king of Israel. They knew that they'd heard the stories about him, you know, slaying Goliath and all those things, and these guys knew how to fight. Now, I'm going to get really bold this morning. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everybody listen to Pastor Mark? Okay. Quit asking for easy and get into the fight. I'm going to say it again. Quit asking for easy and get into the fight. Fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Fight for your marriage, fight for your family, fight for your finances, fight for your church, fight for your community, and fight for your nation. You got to fight. Some of your prayer times are too much of asking for the easy. God, give it to me easy. God, and God's saying, dude, I have equipped you with everything that you need to do for battle. Yeah, the battle's mine, but you're going to have to engage yourself and do it by faith. And some of us are just sitting back going, waiting for God to do it and do all this, and God, I want easy, and I want easy, and I want easy, and God's saying, I need some people to fight. This is a day and hour, guys, where the church needs to wake up and fight. We got to use our voice. We got to start speaking. I heard a pastor in our men's retreat. God, man, it just gripped my heart, and I was like, God, I don't want to be that kind of pastor, and I don't want to be that kind of church, and I don't want to be that kind of Christian. And it was talking about some missionaries. Gary will remember this when I start talking about it, but he was talking about some missionaries that came over here from Iran. And in Iran, Christians are persecuted. I'm talking killed. I'm talking they'll take your wives and your daughters and all this kind of, I mean, the terrible stuff. And these missionaries to Iran came back to the United States to raise money, and they were going from church to church, and they were just thanking God that they were back in the United States of America, in this land of freedom and worship. We can worship, they can worship in freedom here. They were going around raising funds for their going back to Iran, and eventually, and then, you know, when they first came back over here, though, they from Iran, they were like, we're ready to get out of here, you know, because we may die. We may die for our faith. We may, you know, my wife may be taken. My daughter may be taken. They come back over here to America, and they start going to churches. And this pastor said that not the man, the wife of this missionary, she leaned over to her husband, and she goes, I'm ready to go back to Iran. And that pastor was like, whoa, honey, really? And she goes, we've been to a lot of churches, and we've been to some great churches and some great pastors and great churches. But she said the church, I mean, she was talking about the big C, not just any one church, but she's talking about the big C, the big church in our Western Hemisphere, in the North America. She said there's a satanic lullaby in the church just making Christians go to sleep. And it's just everybody, here's a good word, nobody's woke in the church. You know, they may be woke out there, but we need to wake up as the church of Jesus Christ. And she said, I want to go back to Iran. And he was like, really, honey, you want to go back to where they're beheading people and all? She goes, at least over there, we were awake. We were awake in our faith. And I was like, wow. I was just sitting there going, oh, God, I don't want to be that kind of pastor. I don't want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be woke at all times, all right, and in the fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Most of you know this if you've been in church any length of time. For we live, one translation says, we live by faith, not by sight. Most translations say, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I'll get that out. I'm all tongue-tied up here. May we practice the faculties and abilities of the Spirit in the way we live and walk. Sight is referencing our five physical senses, and we're learning to rely on our spiritual senses even more than our physical senses in the way that we live and walk with God. Teach us to live in a constant state of communication with you, God, as a normal way of life. The Lord wants to help us to see the invisible so we can do the impossible. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. I'm just going to use one of these senses that we have, the physical sense of seeing, but you have a spiritual sense of seeing as well if you open your spiritual eyes. And this goes back to the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, it says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, everybody say see, all right, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. And I'm sure Joshua was standing there going, do what? Say what? See what? Because this city was huge. It was the first city that they came into in the Promised Land. The city was huge. Some theologians say that the wall that surrounded this city, you could actually ride two chariots on top of this wall that went around. It wasn't just this little bitty brick wall. It was a huge wall that was around the city, fortifying the city. And God was telling Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. I want you to think about this. Before one step was made in the Jericho march and one trumpet blown, God invited Joshua to see the invisible so he could do the impossible. And I believe that God's doing that with a lot of y'all in here today too, to see the invisible so he can do the impossible through you. May we learn like Joshua to discern and judge by our spiritual faculties, not by what we see with our eyes or what we hear with our ears. Help us to follow the example of Jesus, okay? Jesus was all the time, I only do what my Father's doing. How did he know that? How did he know what the Father was doing? Because he could see it. He had that spiritual sense of seeing the Lord. Have you ever had that happen to you? Some of you may think it's deja vu. All right, if you're walking with God, it's the Lord speaking to you, helping you to see. I've had it happen to me several times, and it needs to happen. What I'm trying to say is we need to exercise it more so it happens more in our lives, not just this everyday. You're a natural being, but we are supernatural. Look at somebody and say, you're supernatural. You're supernatural. If you know the Lord as your Savior, and you have the Holy Spirit within you, you're supernatural. And you can walk in all this that I'm talking about, but you're going to have to exercise it. Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears." And some of you need to just put that one up on your refrigerator this week or in your vehicle, and because that's, even though it's talking about, that's a prophecy about Jesus, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. You need to be praying that over yourself, that's what I want to walk in, God, right there. And guys, I'm telling you, it's available to all of us. I'll never forget, I'll just give you a couple examples out of my own life of seeing before it happened. Was Mark and I went to Promise Keepers back in the day, and his church there, the church he was attending in Camargo, they had an interim pastor, and so he asked me if I wanted to, you know, come in and fill the pulpit a few times. I said, yeah, sure, you know, and I always say that Camargo was my Holy Spirit training ground, and because I had a drive-through lady every Sunday that I went up there, and I didn't go every Sunday. But there was one particular Sunday in the early morning hours, I had a dream, and I'm gonna tell you, and I'm telling you guys this because God does speak to us in our dreams as well. All right, I go to bed every night asking God to speak to me in my dreams. Sometimes I don't dream, sometimes I do, sometimes they're not of God. There was too much pizza or whatever the night before. You know, we got to get real. But then there's been times, and I knew that this dream was from God, and in my dream, because I knew how the church was set up, because I'd already been at Camargo. There was, in my dream, I saw a lady sitting over here. She sat to my right on my, and I'll tell you who it was. It was Leola Roston. She's in heaven now with the Lord. But she sat over here to my right, and the Lord showed me in this dream that during the message, she's going to break down and start crying. And she's going to look bewildered because she doesn't know what's going on with her. And you need to tell her that I love her, and that's just my love for her. Sure enough, I just got up there, and just like I'm doing with y'all today, I was like, okay, God, and I just like, if this happens, then I know I'm hearing from, you know how that goes, you know, and I was just like, that's gotta happen today. And I'm up there, and I'm just sharing the word of God like I am with you today, and she's sitting right over here, and she just starts weeping. And God told me to stop, because she was looking around like I'm going crazy, you know, right here in church, I'm crying for no reason. And I said, Leola, God loves you. And that's just the Holy Spirit loving on you. And she just looked at me and said, okay, you know. And that was it. That was it. There's just one example of that. And guys, what if we went around, and I think about that, what if you went around in restaurant, ever be praying for God to have those kind of divine connections anywhere, not just at church, anywhere, out on the job, at, you know, because everybody is going through something, and everybody needs a word from God. That one word from God could change your life forever. All right, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 through 17 says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord," and this is my prayer over all of us, "open our eyes so that we're going to get spiritually woke, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So this is what I'm praying over all of us and over myself. Give us the understanding like you gave Elisha when he saw what his servant could not see. As you opened his servant's eyes, may you also open our eyes to see the invisible. Empower us to open the eyes and ears of others that are around us, family, friends, co-workers, to give them prophetic sight and insight. And God's word says the things that you have prepared for us cannot be seen, heard, or conceived with our natural abilities. God wants us to get that woke that we start waking up people around us. Not only are we woke, but we're waking up people around us. Everybody awake this morning? Everybody woke? Look at somebody and say, I'm woke. I'm woke. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." There's stuff, guys, about God that we don't know, and he wants to reveal it to us as we press into him. Okay, this is one of the last passages of scriptures I wanted to get to today. But Psalms 24, verses 5 through 9 says this. It says, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads. Everybody say that. Lift up your heads, you gates. Okay. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Then he says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. Everybody say, lift up your heads, you gates. Say it again. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And so this is my prayer over us, guys. Lord, you are all powerful. Lead us, direct us, guide us, and may we learn to lift up our heads in every situation, lifting our countenance as the gates through which you enter into every circumstance that may come our way. All right? Now, here's what I want to tell you is when I was reading this and I had a pastor illuminate this passage of scripture for me over men's retreat, lift up your heads, you gates. I'm like, lift up your heads, you gates. I'm like, I don't have no gates on my head. Amen. I'm like, there's no gate on my head. And I had a pastor tell me, you got three gates on your head. You have eyes, you have ears, and you have a mouth. Lift up your heads, O you gates. And so our eyes, you need to make a covenant with your eyes that you're just going to be focused on God and his word and see the invisible, and you've got to see it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Give us those kind of spiritual eyes. Our ears, we need to be hearing with our spiritual ears. Jesus, every time, if you read the Gospels, he always said, he that has ears, let him hear. And so they could understand the parables that he would speak. We need spiritual ears to understand what God's doing in these days that we're living in. And then the mouth, guys, it is time for the body of Christ to wake up and start speaking. And speaking the truth, but with grace and with love, doing it right, in the right heart, in the right manner. That's how we're going to accomplish the things that we need to get done. But you got to protect and guard those three gates. Because the enemy also tries to get in through your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. All right? And so we've got to protect those gates and fill them with God and fill them with God's word. Holy Spirit, you lead us, guide us, and direct us into all truth. Awaken our spirit, supernatural abilities to be led by the Spirit of God rather than speaking from our own reactionary initiative. That's what I'm asking God to do in me. And this is John 16, verse 13, where it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's the Holy Spirit. And you have that. If you're saved and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he wants to do that in you and help you in life. John 6, verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. And this is a scripture that goes back to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. And this is happening back there in children's ministry today. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. I'm so thankful that my grandson and my granddaughter are being raised right, and they're never going to have to, they're going to know nothing but the love of God and the love of their poppy and their nana. Amen. And that love just is going to just set them for life. Guys, there's so much things that peace, that security, that comfort, all that, God flowing through you into your children, into the next generation. God's direction stretches us into the prophetic context, taking us from our former frame of reference to a future frame of reference. May we all be more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to get across to all of us today. May we all be more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, so conversations become confirmations that we're all hearing God together. Amen. That's what God wants to do in every one of us today. Lord, we know that the key to hearing your voice is a willingness to hear what you want to say more than what we want to hear. That's a mouthful. Lord, we know that the key to hearing your voice is a willingness to hear what you want to say more than what we want to hear. It's not going to be easy. Amen. Sometimes he's going to say, I need you to fight. I need somebody to get in the battle. All right? 2 Timothy 1:6. I'm trying to fan a flame today, guys. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That was Paul talking to Timothy. And Tay, I want you to come, if you don't mind. And I'm going to have just a little bit. We got a little bit of time here. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to close like this today. I want to lay hands on anybody that wants me to lay hands on them, of course, for prayer. But what I'm believing is when I lay hands on you, and I'm not going to labor long here in the altar, I want you to know that, is I just want to lay hands on some people like Paul laid hands on Timothy. And I believe that God, what he wants to do is stir you up, get you woke. And I know some of you, and I'm not trying to, where everybody in here is asleep, all right? But I can tell you, I thought I was awake when I went to men's retreat, and I got more woke. Sometimes we need to get more woke, right? And I just want to lay hands on you and just pray over you for us all to stir it up, get awake, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. And I'm going to close with this scripture. I love this scripture. This is one of our theme scriptures at men's retreat this year. Ephesians 3, verse 19. I'm going to read out of the Amplified version. It says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, without experience, that you may be filled through all your being into all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And everybody said, amen. If you want to get filled up this morning, I want you to come up here. And I'm going to tell you something. We all leak. Amen. When you go out and fight in the world, we leak a little bit. And that's good, because we need to spill out over on other people. But we're supposed to be overflowing all the time, all right? And I just want to come across here, and just for any of those that want to come up here, I'm just going to lay hands on you. And I'm not going to labor long, okay? But I just want to pray over all those that want to come up here this morning. God wants to, he's wanting to fill those three gates, all right? Your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. And I can't do it for you. I'm just believing that today when I lay hands on you, it's going to stir up a hunger and a thirst for righteousness inside of you, that you're going to want to start doing this on your own. Coming to church is a part of it, but guys, getting into the Word yourself, having a daily relationship with the Lord, getting into the Word is what keeps you stirred up, all right? And then you need to come in this. This is our huddle time as a church family, that we huddle up and rah, 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 and then go back out in the world, okay? And that's what we all need. All right, I'm just going to go down through here, and I'm just going to lay hands on you and pray for you and while Taya plays, all right? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Penny. God, I just thank you that you're going to fill her cup to overflowing. Bella, hallelujah. You're filling everyone here up. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that they would continue to stir up that gift that's within them, stir up the Holy Spirit. God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you that you're going to lead and guide and direct them in all truth, that they're going to know what they're supposed to do. Lord, down to the finest of details, Lord. It's not just the big decisions, but the small decisions as well, God. They're going to know if they need to buy that car. They're going to know if they need to move here. They're going to know if they need to take this job. Everything, God, you've got it all mapped out for us. If we just stop and surrender to you, God, and lift up our heads and open our gates, God, open our eyes so that we can see by faith. God, open our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, for our family, for our situation. Open our mouth to speak the Word of God over our situations and circumstances. God, that's how, God, I thank you that no weapon formed against anyone here today is going to prosper in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord, we're going to get on the offense now. There's some in here, we've been on the defense way too long. And Lord, it's time that we rise up. We've been asking for easy. And God, we need to get into the fight, God, because you have anointed us to fight this battle. The battle is yours, but God, you need us in the battle. Just like you needed David to step into the ring with Goliath that day. You needed him. And all he did, he just lifted up his head to you. He lifted up his gates to you, God, and you helped him and you empowered him to overcome the enemy. And so, Lord, you're doing that to everyone here today. You're helping them to overpower the enemy. But, God, we have got to get in the fight. We have to stir up the gift of God within us. We have got to get woke in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you that everyone here is awake spiritually today, God. I thank you that no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. God, greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world, God. I thank you that, God, if you be for us, who can be against us? God, I thank you that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. God, we thank you and praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, because this is the heritage of the righteous. This is the heritage of the children of the Most High God, Lord, and we're going to walk as children of the Most High God. The blessings of Abraham are upon everyone in here, God, in Jesus' name, and we're going to walk in it, walk it out, because, Lord, when we walk out of these doors, we're going to be attracting the world to us, God, because we're walking in this anointing. We're walking in this wokeness. We're walking in this spiritual sense that we know what we're supposed to do. And so, Lord, I thank you that the men of Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, had this anointing upon them. God, we ask for a double portion of that anointing upon us for these times that we're living in. God, our children need this. Our grandchildren need this, God, because we want this next generation to stay awake in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for everything that you're doing in this house today, God. I thank you for what you're doing in marriages in this house today, what you're doing in families in this house today. God, what you're doing for generations that are not even here yet, God, what that you're doing in this house today. And so, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I'm woke. Hug somebody's neck and say, I'm woke. Amen. God is good, and I'm going to speak this blessing over you today out of Numbers chapter 6, okay? As we go out today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. In Jesus' name, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week and stay woke. Stay woke. Stay woke. Amen. You're more spiritual than a flamingo, I promise. Amen. Love you guys.